God doesn't want to see you hurting. I'm going to say that one more time. God doesn't want to see you hurting. And yet, we live in a broken world. We have imperfect bodies because of sin. We have an imperfect world. So we all experience pain. But God doesn't like to see you hurting because he loves you. And he cares for you. Last week, Pastor Todd shared about learning to listen in this series, Everyday Disciple. And as we connected about this today, thought it was fitting and just felt like, hey, I need to share about learning to heal. And so we're going to talk about that here today. First, I'm going to pause and we're going to pray over this word. Let's do that right now. God, we thank you so much for your word, which is true for all time. I thank you, God, that you put a message on my heart to share here at Kiske Valley. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. So going back to this idea that God doesn't like to see you hurting. How do we know this? There's actually several scriptures, but Jesus' ministry demonstrates his longing and his desire to see his disciples healed. There's a book that is called Follow, and it's Learning to Follow Jesus by Brian Koch and Pastor Brian and Daniel McNaughton. And it's a great book. And in that book, there is a sentence that I think sums it up. He says, it is significant that the first thing Jesus did after calling his disciples to follow him was to invite them to hear him teach about God's kingdom and to watch him heal people. At the very beginning, as his disciples are following him, he says, all right, let's go. What is the first thing that happens? He goes to teach people and heal people. So it's something that's very important to Jesus and our relationship with him. So we, as followers of Christ, and if you're not a follower of Christ and you're still searching, this is something that can help you understand who Jesus is. Today, we're going to be looking at a scripture in Matthew chapter 8, and it's an encounter, a powerful encounter, with Jesus and a Roman official, a Roman officer in the army, a centurion. And we're going to look at that. This passage in particular is close to my heart because after being called into the ministry, and I was saved in 1997, and in 1998, I was called into the ministry as I was a student at Missouri State University. And I was in Chi Alpha, which is a campus Christian ministry. And I was called into the ministry. And the first time I got to speak at a Chi Alpha meeting with students and preach, I preached on this text. So it is very dear to my heart. So I'm excited to share with you today. It's in Matthew chapter 8. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. We're going to read the first couple of verses, and then I'm going to pause and share a few thoughts and then read the rest of the story. So it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. This word really jumped out to me, paralyzed. I felt like it was a word that I needed to just pause and unpack just a little bit. Paralyzed. In Jesus' time, this is 2,000 years ago, if someone had a spinal injury or a serious back injury or neck injury, there was no care like we can have today. There was no hope for any kind of medical repair. In fact, they had no understanding of the spinal cord and what was happening. So most likely there was some kind of injury that happened to the servant and they were paralyzed in terrible pain, could not walk, maybe could not even move their arms in terrible pain. So that's specific to this story, but I wonder if here today that word means something to you. What paralyzes you? Or what has paralyzed you? There's three things I want to just share. Pain, types of pain. First is emotional pain. This looks like fear, stress, anxiety. These are the things, worry, that can paralyze us. These things, and maybe they're in your heart or in your life right now. And we as followers of Jesus have to learn how to heal emotionally. Maybe you've experienced trauma in your past, and now you cannot step into the future or the freedom God has called you into because you are emotionally paralyzed. Last week, I was walking through my neighborhood in Plum, where we live, and I walked past a house as I was talking to my older brother on the phone, and I wanted to stop, but I was having this important conversation with my brother on this walk. But I wanted to stop because I saw a man who has recently had, and I know him because my son goes to school with his son, and I saw him sitting on the porch, and I saw a man, and I knew he was going through it. I knew some transitions that were happening in his life, in his work, some disappointments, and I could see on his face as I waved at him, that man is paralyzed by stress or something that he was carrying with him. What are you carrying with you? What is paralyzing you? The second type of pain is physical pain. This could be some type of injury. It could be a condition. It could be something that you have grown to know as normal in your life. Something physical. And maybe, just maybe, a doctor has told you there's no hope for healing. And I'm sure the Roman officer had that thought or had heard there's no hope for your servant to walk again. So there's emotional, there is physical, and then there's last, there's spiritual. Spiritual could be confusion, something that's happening in your life that you do not understand, and because of that, you don't know how to move forward. You're paralyzed spiritually. Maybe it's something deeper. Maybe it's bitterness in a relationship, and you're holding something against someone else. You need reconciliation. You have spiritual paralysis because of something in your life that has happened to you, and you're holding on, holding some type of grudge. These are just some of the things, and maybe it's in your heart, in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your relationships. These things can paralyze us. And that's not where God wants you to be. Jesus is a healer. We just worshiped. We had in these lyrics, we're singing songs of faith about who he is, our healer. We have to learn to heal, though. As we continue with this story, we're going to draw out three big things that will help us learn how to heal. So, the Roman officer has come. He has pleaded with Jesus. My servant lies in bed, paralyzed in terrible pain. And now let's continue. Verse 7. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, his disciples, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home. Because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. Miracle. I want to look at the three characters, the three big individuals in this story, the key figures in this story. The centurion. This centurion was a Roman officer. He led, as a centurion did, 100 men into battle. That's what he did in battle. But in that region, in Palestine, just by his title, as in his role, he had power. He had money, and he had respect. He had few limits of what he could obtain, what he could tell people to do. He alluded to this. This Roman centurion had power, influence, and respect. But in this situation, he was powerless. Here in this room, you have some degree of power, power of choices. Choices in your life, what you do, what you don't do. You have power in your thoughts with whether or not you will believe or not. Whether or not you will submit or not. You have access, some you have more access than others. Access to here, just being in America, you have more access to medical care than most countries and most individuals in the world. You have some type of financial help or assistance. Some more than others. All of us have some degree of autonomy, some degree of, here, this is what I can do to better my situation, or this is what I won't do. In this situation, going back to the centurion, he had reached the limit of his power, of his money, of his access. He could not at all help this servant. He could not heal the servant. There was probably many other things in his life that he could fix, that he could bring in a doctor, he could take care of, pay for, figure out. But here, in this situation, he reached the end of what he could do. This brings me to an important point. No matter who you are, what you have, what you don't have, God sometimes allows us to hurt so that we reach the limits of what we can do to help ourselves. So if you are hurting, and maybe you're wondering, okay, God, why are you doing this to me? God is inherently good, so he's not causing pain. He allows pain to bring us to a point where we say, I cannot fix this. So that we would reach out and ask, God, Heavenly Father, will you help me? The other two people in this story, the servant in Rome, slavery or servants were very common. It's not what you would think of, especially when we think in our own nation's history that was horrific, demeaning, and prejudiced. This was how the system worked. It was something that Paul talks about wanting to see torn down, alluded to that in the book of Philemon, that he wanted to see everyone free. But what was different was they were a part of the family. They were people. This servant, just as this Roman, is going to find Jesus because he cared for them. Maybe you have someone in your life, you're not hurting, but you have someone in your life that you care for that's hurting, that needs to meet Jesus, or that you can intercede for them. Maybe you have that person. If you're here and you're listening, you're saying, I'm not really hurting anywhere, but you know someone who does. As followers of Jesus, we are called to look out for those who are hurting, for the least of these, for those in your life that desperately need to know Jesus. And the last person, the key person in this story, is Jesus. And what's significant here is that the centurion at this point has somehow found out about Jesus. Whether someone in his home had been to a teaching, had seen him heal some, maybe news had traveled. And wouldn't it be great if news would travel here from Kiske Valley that Jesus is healing people? That the people in this community and in the neighboring communities, the neighboring townships and boroughs would hear, we need to go there because Jesus is healing people. So, with all this in mind, with this passage and these figures a little bit clarified, what happened here, what can we learn from this account? What can we learn from the centurion and his faith? How do we learn how to heal? As I just meditated and thought about this, we all have, when we have pain in our life, especially physical pain, we kind of have a go-to. We have this thing that we want to do. Maybe it's like, hey, I'm really sore, really hurting, and I need to go and take a hot shower or a hot bath. Or, you know, I'm really hurting my foot who gives me problems, and I need to take, you know, just an anti-inflammatory. My wife and I, we are connected with a young couple that I was able to do their wedding about a year and a half ago, and she is a physical therapist. And so now, one of the things we do, our go-to, is we text her and say, what should we do? Give us some exercises. Give us some stretches. What would you do? How can you advise us? We all kind of have a go-to. Thinking about this, and listen, doctors, physical therapists, chiropractors, if you don't know this, the book of Luke was written by Luke, who was a doctor. God uses doctors to help us with healing. It's great. That said, sometimes we get into a habit of supplementing in our own ways, in our own methods, for how God wants to be our first go-to. The first one we talk to. The first one we reach out to and plead and say, God, will you help me with this? How do we get to that point? Because that's the kind of relationship God wants with you. At the first sign of pain, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, that you would have a conversation with Jesus. How do we get to this place? Three things. Okay, turn to the person next to you, say three things. Just three. Three things. Three things. All right? First, acknowledge the authority of Jesus. I don't know if you noticed this, but here you have a Roman centurion. Is very powerful and influential, and makes it very clear, listen, Jesus, from where you are, you don't even have to go. You can just say and it'll happen. And he understands it and illustrates it and says, hey, I know that I can say to a soldier right now, go do this, and they'll go do it. Because I have authority. He is saying, you, Jesus, have the same authority. You say it, it'll happen. In thinking about this and in authority, I think there's always been some types of struggle with authority, whether it's in our culture now, whether it's, you know, what we see in every young person's life, whether it's a young adult, student, there's this inherent struggle. Can I just do what I want, or will I recognize and honor those in authority over me, which is biblical? Before I came to know Christ, I was searching. I went to different colleges. I took a year off from school, and then I decided, hey, I've always wanted to serve my country. I signed up for the Coast Guard. Went to New Jersey. I was sent there for training, and you know, that was not God's plan for my life. And so after I was there for several weeks, they recognized that I had a back condition, which I'll talk about more in a moment, that excluded me from being able to serve. And I was medically discharged. But I spent time there and got to start the training process. And we had a drill instructor, and his name was Sergeant Van Housen. And Van Housen really liked being a drill sergeant. I mean, he enjoyed it. He yelled really well, okay? He got everybody's attention. He did exactly, it was his calling, for sure. I mean, he was a person of authority, and it was interesting that in the first couple days we were there, every person has to go through the drug screening process once you arrive. They want to make sure that you are fit to serve, and so all the young men were sent to the men's room to take care of that process. And I remember going in there, and there was four or five of us in there at a time, and the drill sergeant, much to our surprise, followed us in there to help us with this process, to get it moving. But there was one individual, one young man, who was not fond of someone yelling at him during the process. And he stopped and said, "Sergeant, I'm not able to do this with you yelling at me." Well, that didn't help his situation. And in fact, I just remember I was almost finished with my little container, and I was so happy because he had started to talk to me about doing it faster. And then all of a sudden, he was like, "This young man is going to get the wrath, you know, all of it." And so I quickly exited, and it was quite a sight. But I think back to that process, and I think back to that experience. And sometimes I think we see and we think about God in heaven as the creator of the universe and as the ultimate authority. And yes, he is a righteous judge. He is all powerful. But he is also all loving. And so he has the authority and the power to heal. And he loves us. And he cares for us. And maybe, just maybe, in your time of hurt and pain, you think the God of the universe is like this powerful, like the little kid with the magnifying glass and the anthill. And maybe in your mind, you think, God just seems to always find me. And the truth is, that's not how God works. We all live in a broken world. We will all encounter pain, difficulty, Jesus, in fact, promised it to his disciples in the book of John. In this world, you will have many troubles. So, he's made it clear, we'll encounter it. But we have to acknowledge the authority of Jesus the same way that this Roman officer did. What keeps you from recognizing the power of Jesus? What is it in your life? Is it doubt? Doubts are okay to process and work through. But unchecked, those doubts can grow. Process them here. Process them with the community of the things that you struggle with. But it's so key for us to acknowledge the authority that Jesus has to heal. The second thing, number two, turn to your neighbor and say, number two, this is it. Number two, point to the power of Jesus. I love the phrase in this story that this centurion says. He says to Jesus, just say the word. And my servant, who you cannot physically see where you're standing, you have said, Jesus, you will travel down there, but you don't need to. All you have to do is say the word, and you can heal them however long, a half a mile away, wherever it was. Just say the word. This was how the centurion pointed to the power of Jesus. He acknowledged him as an authority figure, as the authority, and then pointed to his power. You, Jesus, have the power to heal. There's a great song by Hillsong United. It's just say the word. Say the word. Say the word. I encourage you, one of the ways, if you are on a journey of trying, or you're in a journey of praying and believing for healing, if you're in that place, find scriptures to pray through. A scripture like this is a good one to pray through. What it means is you capture that word, you actually stand on God's word, and you pray through the power of God's word. Jim was sharing Psalm 107. Psalms is great. If you don't know what to pray, pray scripture. Stand on God's word. There is power in it. Stand on it as you don't just read it, speak it out and proclaim it and personalize it. That's how you point to the power of Jesus. Point to the power of Jesus. Here's this third thing. Declare what you know. The centurion, however news had traveled, got to him that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the real thing. And even though there were many Jewish people that had been waiting for him, didn't acknowledge him, didn't believe in him, here the Roman centurion, a Gentile, is saying, Jesus, I know something. I know this. You're the only one that can solve this. You have power. You have authority. This I know. Jesus was amazed and said, I've not seen faith like this anywhere. He says this to his disciples who are learning how to follow him. And Jesus pauses to say, hey, you know all the religious people that you know that I keep talking about, that are completely missing it? This guy, he's got it. This centurion knows. I encourage you, if you are on a healing journey and you're saying, I want to learn how to heal in Jesus' name. I started this process as I was preparing this message. Start, write this down, put a note in your phone, and complete this sentence with many different little bullet points. I know this. From your previous experiences of following Jesus and how he's answered prayers, I know this. I know this. God heals in many ways. I know this. From scripture and experience. Just this last week, we were on a missions trip. Our team went to Philadelphia to serve at the Dream Center, which is a part of our network and the Assemblies of God. They were doing inner city work, and we were serving with a team from Oklahoma. And the pastor and I were walking down the steps of this Dream Center. It's an old Catholic church that they're turning into just a place of freedom. And we're going down the steps, and we're about the same age. And he says, "Man, all these steps." He said, "Man, don't you feel it in your knees?" And I said, "Yeah, a little bit." He said, "Man, my knees have been giving me trouble." And I said, "I used to feel a lot more in my left knee. But a little over a year ago, I was supposed to have surgery. And the surgery was delayed, and people in the church didn't know about it, and were praying on the day of the surgery. And you know what happened? God healed my knee. I got to be in the room with the surgeon who had told me months before, you either deal with the pain, you have surgery, or you have some kind of miracle. I said, "Hey, you know that thing you brought up?" God was listening. I know this, God heals in many ways. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's instant. God heals in many ways. I know this, God loves you, and you're a child of God once you make a commitment to follow Jesus. You're a child of God. That's who you are. He loves you unconditionally, cares about you, knows exactly what you are going through. I know this, God keeps his promises. There are several promises in Scripture. If you are in a healing journey right now, take your Bible. I encourage you to have a physical Bible. It's great to be on the digital one's convenient. Have a physical Bible and start praying through and memorizing promises of God. There's also great books on this, on the promises of God. Here's just a few. I will never leave you or forsake you. No weapon formed against me will prosper. If you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. There are several promises in Scripture. God keeps his promises. I know this. Last one. God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He is the strong tower, place of refuge, the good shepherd. He loves you. He knows how you're hurting. You know, thinking about God as a loving father, I was thinking about my kids are growing up, but I remember when they were little, when they got hurt, when they'd fall, when they'd, you know, skin their knee or you know, twist an ankle or something, you know, I had a dad reaction. And my reaction, I don't know if it was just what I experienced or if I just wanted my kids to be a little tougher. Most of the time I was like, "Hey, get up, you're going to be okay. And you're going to be okay." Even if they were crying, "Hey, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay." And my wife was like, "Hey, you need to be more compassionate." You know? I was like, "Well, I think that's why you're here." I said, "You're going to be okay." That word "okay" is something I was thinking about. The origin of that word, I don't know if you know this, is all correct. It was used in Martin Van Buren's re-election campaign because his nickname was Old Kinderhook. And so Van Buren is okay. That's how we got to this okay. Okay can mean a lot of different things. But we all know what it means. It's okay. Here's a couple thoughts that I had with this word. It's okay to have scars. We're talking about healing. It's okay to have scars. You know why? Jesus does. Jesus has scars as a reminder of his sacrifice for us. It's okay to cry. I remember my mom saying this to me when I was like 4 years old at a funeral of my great-grandmother. She looked at me and said, it's okay to cry. If you are hurting, listen to me. It's okay to cry. John 11:35, Jesus wept. It's okay to cry. It's okay to call out to your Father when you are hurting. Jesus did. On the cross, crying out. And God didn't answer him on the cross because he knew he had to go through that pain so you could experience healing. And last, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to not be okay. Jesus did this in the garden. He called out to his disciples and said, hey, will you come and pray with me? I know what's coming. I need you to be with me and help me and pray with me. Here is what's not okay. It's not okay for followers of Jesus to pretend to be okay when you're not. It is not okay to pretend you're okay. To put up a front and say, you know what? Everything's all right. We live in a world, a highlight world on social media of like, look at all the great things that are happening in my life. But I'm not willing to open up and share with people in the body of Christ that I'm really hurting. That's not okay. Because you can't learn to heal if you do that. So as I conclude, I was thinking about this. The Roman officer, Jesus was so amazed. And to unpack that just a little bit more, for you here today, if you need healing, listen. The Roman officer humbled himself. He was a person of power who said, Jesus, I need help. My servant is in trouble. I need you. He humbled himself as a person of power, crying out for help. He pleaded. The scriptures say he pleaded. He said, please, please. And he 100% believed that Jesus was going to heal him. Where are you at in this journey? What is paralyzing you emotionally, physically, or spiritually? Whatever it is, listen, Jesus can heal. Jesus wants to be your healer. He wants to walk with you in this journey.